Good morning, church. All you brave souls who came out in the weather, it's changing. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I'm Pastor Steve Warren, and on behalf of Pastor Sarah Merchant and myself, we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ to this time of worship. We are small but mighty. We do have a small gift for those who are here for the very first time, a bag of popcorn that you can warm up and have for a memory piece to remind you of Mountain View. Thanks for popping in. I know that Gene has a niece and a nephew. Welcome. I'm going to throw this to Mike, and Mike's going to give it to you. Where are you coming to from today? From Portland, Oregon. Welcome. I'm glad that you're here. Mike, you ready? 3, 6, 5. Welcome. I'm glad you came. Anybody else here for the very first time? Welcome. Glad you're here. Tell us your name. Eric.
Garrett.
Welcome. Glad that you came to worship today. Thanks for popping in. And with that, our announcement time has become a reality. Teach us of love, Master.
Good morning.
Hi, Lynn.
All those of you came out and braved this first wintry day, we're glad you're here. And we had a big surprise this morning. If you notice, the narthex is full of apples, and they're the gift of Marion Conrad, and she wants us to take them home. So if you have some grocery bags in your car or something, bring them back in and help yourselves to those wonderful apples. There are a number of announcements in the bulletin today, and I'm just going to highlight a few, but please read it, and also for the specifics about each one. The bump dinner, the salmon dinner, will be held in Barker Hall from 4:30 to 7. Salmon and turkey will be served. Cost is $12 for adults, $5 for children, 8 to 12. Under that, they're free. The road cleanup next Saturday, October 20th, please contact Glenn Strand if you're able to help. And the Crop Hunger Walk will take place on Sunday, October 21. The Home Builders Dinner and a Movie, showing the movie Chocolat, is October 27 at 5:30. And don't forget the Spooktacular at the end of the month, Sunday, October 28th, lots of fun. Decorate your trunk and come and fill it with candy for neighborhood children and have a hot dog and other snacks. Thank you.
With that, I'd like to invite you to stand and greet one another. Tell somebody some small joy that you experienced this week. Small joys.
And if you would join me, please, in the introit. Come, come, everybody worship with a prayer or song of praise. Come, come, everybody worship, worship God always. Worship and remember your blessings great and small. Give to God an offering, show your thanks for all. Come, come, everybody worship with a prayer or song of praise. Come, come, everybody worship, worship God always. Worship and remember how Jesus long ago taught us how to talk to God, something we should know. Come, come, everybody worship with a prayer or song of praise. Come, come, everybody worship, worship God always.
Our opening hymn is Rejoice, the Lord is King, 1715.
It's right there by the, well, there you go, and it's on.
Hey, hey guys. Here, I'm going to come sit over here closer to all of you so I can see Jameson even. How are you guys today? What'd you think of the snow?
Wonderful.
And it was kind of cool, right? Kind of fun to wake up to this. We haven't had it in a while. Pretty fun. So I have a question for you guys. When was the last time somebody gave you a present or a gift? When was the last time? Maybe a birthday? Yeah, some of our birthdays were a while ago. Maybe Christmas all the way last year. But you maybe also got a little gift maybe at the end of the school year or maybe at the beginning of this school year. You got something small, something fun to say yay school, right? Annie did a bunch of gymnastics tournaments. I bet you got some trophies or something, right? Those are kind of like presents. Yeah, some medals and some things like that. You got your phone after summer, see? So all kinds of fun things that we get, that people give to us, right? So now think about the last time you guys gave somebody a present. Anything. Can you think of that? Thanksgiving last year was the last time you gave somebody something? Okay. Oh, I bet you guys have given something to somebody more recently than that. You know, last Sunday when we were sitting here in our prayer ground, I got two pictures. Rupert drew me a picture of a whole bunch of cars, and Chandler drew me a picture of a horse. And they gave those to me. Would those be gifts? Yeah. Was that a gift from you, Rupert? It is. It's hanging up in my office right now. I've got it. I saved it. It's upstairs. So yeah, so when we give gifts, do they have to be really, really big? No. Do they have to be really expensive? Do they have to be fancy? No. What do they have to be? It's a good word for a gift. Should they be meaningful? Yeah. And how about when you give that gift, how do you feel? How did you feel when you drew a picture last week and gave it to me, Rupert? How did that make you feel? It made you feel nice? I just saw you give a picture to your mom, too. How did that make you feel? Happy. It makes you feel happy. That's right. So, when we give things to people, it does. It can make us feel happy, right? We put some work into it. We think about it. Maybe we wrap it up. Maybe we make it ourselves or we use our own money to buy it. And it kind of makes us feel happy, right? So when you're happy, what do? We laugh, right? Right? We laugh. We smile and we laugh. So we're going to practice some laughing, and I'm going to have all of you guys practice with us too. So let's practice our laughter here. I want you guys to pretend you've just heard a funny joke, and I want you to laugh as loud as you can. Everybody laugh. Those were good laughters. Okay, try again. This time I want you to try to laugh without showing your teeth. Okay, go for it. Nice. This time, I want you to laugh like you're really trying not to laugh. Try to keep it quiet, yeah. Okay, how about can you laugh with your mouth open wide? Oh, those were good, good laughs. Can you laugh without any sound? And how about can you laugh with your whole body? Where your whole body just shakes because you're laughing so much. Oh, those were some good laughters. How do you feel now that we've been laughing? Do you feel happy? Yeah, smiles make us laugh, make us feel good, right? Well, that's what giving can do. Giving can make us feel just like when we laughed just now. God wants us to feel happy when we give. When we give things, God doesn't want us to think, well, I guess it's Christmas, so I guess I have to give my brother a present. Or I guess it's the end of the school year, so I have to give my teacher a present. Does that sound fun? No, when we give, we should be excited about it. I found the best present for my best friend's birthday. I can't wait to give it to her. Or I drew the best picture of cars ever, and I can't wait to give it to my mom. Right? It feels good to give, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a happy heart and to be a cheerful giver. So the next time you guys give a present to somebody, do you think you can laugh a little bit about it? Think you can smile about it? Think you can have a happy heart when you give it? Yeah, because God does love a cheerful giver. Should we pray? Put your hands together and say, hey, God, thank you for laughter. Thank you for smiles. Help us to remember that when we give, to give with a cheerful heart. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Amen.
Mike is the co-chair of our stewardship team and a really wonderful guy, a member of our church, and does great work throughout the annual conference. Mike? Teach us of love.
Thank you for that introduction, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
And today we are exploring the spiritual practice of joy. And how does that relate to stewardship? I don't know the definition of joy or how you experience it. I know here in church, we sing about joy. I mean, we sing, I've got a joy, 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 joy.
Deep
down in my heart. And I would think that probably in a few weeks we'll be singing Joy to the World when Christmas time comes around. But I looked into the Bible to get maybe some guidance as to this concept of joy, may how it might relate to stewardship. And I found a passage in Psalm, and I'll read it to you here. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. And the key concept for me is that phrase, joy of your presence. It doesn't take much, but something as simple as you being there can create joy. I mean, can you think of a time in the last week or month when your presence created joy for someone else? When somebody else's presence created joy for you? Just last weekend, I have two daughters who are in college, and it was family weekend, so they were back home for a couple of days. And that created a great deal of joy in our household. Just to have them home, just being in the kitchen, seeing them around, was a joyful event for us. Another way of creating joy from presence is through mission projects here at the church. And if you looked in the bulletin, I saw the crop walk, the cleanup, Thanksgiving in the park, and then we're having the bump dinner here tonight, all getting involved with mission. And those of you who have been involved in mission know that you get as much out of it, as probably even more you get out of it than what you put into it. And it's your presence being there with other people that really makes the difference. So here at Mountain View, I really think we've created a community and a place where you can experience joy. Here, you have the opportunity to be in community with others, deepen your relationship with God, or serve here in the church or in a mission project. Opportunities for joy abound here. And I think that the spiritual practice of joy is an important concept to keep in mind during this month's stewardship campaign. Giving of yourself, being present, joy are all part of stewardship. As we as a congregation pledge to fund the ministry here at Mountain View for the next year, I hope that you'll remember the joys that you've experienced here and the opportunities that this church provides to experience joy in the future. You'll be receiving your pledge card this week in the mail, and there's some actually in the pews in front of you today. In 2 weeks, on the 28th, it's Consecration Sunday, when you bring your pledge cards in. So when you consider your pledge for next year, I ask that you do it joyfully. Thank you.
May it be so. Thank you, Mike. Mike's been here since early this morning to share that message with each of our teams, each of our worship services. Thank you so much. What other joys and concerns do you bring? We know that I'm not Pastor Sarah, and she was scheduled to preach today. What do you think happened? They welcomed a new boy into their house, their home, Spencer James, at 9:30 o'clock last night, which I think is a very civilized time to come. Not much notice, but she's video recorded her message for today, thinking well ahead. She's a smart lady. So Spencer weighed 6 pounds and some, and is 20 inches long. Spencer James Merchant, and father, mother, and baby sister are all doing well. So we celebrate with them today. Who else? Who else needs prayers today? Yes.
So I spent a couple days this week in the hospital having some procedures done, and I'm headed for a pretty big surgery coming up. So prayers for that.
Desiree Williams was in the hospital this past week some days. She scheduled some major surgery in the future. So prayers for that.
And also my hometown of Panama City, Florida has been completely devastated by the hurricane. I've got lots of family and friends.
Prayers for family and friends and the whole town of Panama City, Florida, in the latest hurricane, Michael. Prayers of support for them. Others? Yes.
It's a joy to have my niece from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and nephew from Portland, Oregon. Visiting this weekend.
Niece and nephew visiting this week. That's a wonderful thing. Yes. We greeted them with popcorn. Yes, Marion.
And very, very thankful that you even remember, and we want to
She's saying that the president of the German Culture Society will be speaking for 3 days to the Boy Scouts of America about how Colorado was formed and the contribution of our German ancestry. Others, Joyce. Yes, Susan.
I was asked to be the organ teacher by a Boy Scout who was here Thursday night. He's 9 years old and he'll start. That makes three organ students.
Three organ students. One is a Boy Scout and 9 years old. John Harris has returned from his sailing adventures. Welcome home. Annette Anderson needs some prayers of support and love. It's been a terrifically busy week, but she needs your care as well as my own. Yes, sir.
Bright Point in our week was me here Saturday with the trustees. We had a huge turnout to help. We got, about 80% of our list, probably too long over there, 80% of our list done, and Bump was here. It was just a very active church campus yesterday preparing for everything.
They had lots of volunteers for the Spruce Up Day from trustees. So thank you to all of you who volunteered time to do that yesterday.
Thanks for the weather yesterday.
And the weather. We thank God for the weather.
Yeah.
Many hands make light work. Concerns. My sister had complete knee replacement surgery. So she's a single lady, and so she's in a rehab facility over the next couple of days, and it's an admission of vulnerability that us Warrens aren't that good at. So prayers for Joni is my sister's name. Anybody else? Yes.
Let me share a joy. Recently, my oldest nephew got married to a very lovely young woman.
Her oldest nephew got married to a lovely young woman. Wonderful.
Their lives come together was very nice.
Very nice to see their lives come together. Others? Yes.
Prayers for my Aunt Judy, who's had another back surgery.
Prayers for his Aunt Judy, who had another back surgery. Jana Wynette's family, her husband John, his father died late last month, and we want to keep them in mind. And Katie Howe had gallbladder removal surgery, and she's on the mend. But it'll take some time. Anybody else? This is what it means to be in community together. We may not do everything perfectly. We may fail to care in certain places or miss opportunities. But when we pray together, we are being the community of Christ in the midst of our imperfections to try to make a difference in the world. Would you hold someone's hand near you? And let's pray as the body of Christ. The seasons turn, O Lord, and they change. And the seasons of our life change. And we come face to face with our own vulnerabilities. We know we need you, God. We know we need you. So in this time of prayer together, we lift our hearts and our burdens to you and ask for your help. We give you thanks for the gift of life, for first teeth and crawling, for healing arts, for the gift of new life, for Spencer James Merchant, and for your love in all things. We pray your blessing when we are struggling, when we are disappointed, when we are in a mood. Please forgive our brokenness and help us again to turn to you. We, your people, on this snowy morning praise you, even as creation praises you. And the changes in the weather remind us of your constant love. Help us, Lord. Help us, we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise to sing together.
Bring the sacrifice of praise into the house.
I invite you to consider the gifts we might give today, to give gifts for those who haven't been able to come to worship today, for those who are stuck at home, for those who are feeling low and forgotten. These gifts we give make a difference. It's part of our sacrifice of praise. Gifts and for these givers, Lord, we give you thanks. We ask your forgiveness for our many failings, for we can not always trust in our own thoughts and memories. We cannot always trust in each other, but you've called us to higher things. You've called us to greater commitments. You've called us to joy. Walk with us in forgiveness and hope, peace and love. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation found on the screen and in the bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 9, and 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 8. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. 2 Corinthians 9. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word of God for the people of God.
What does the Lord require of you? share a few thank yous before we get started today. First off, I want to thank Michael Shore for making this video accessible to you and the AV team for doing their great work. And maybe even a shout out to Steve Jobs and his Apple team that I can have a video recorder in my pocket. I want to offer a thank you to you all as well for the support you've given me and my family throughout this pregnancy. And as we bring in this new life into the world, all the excitement that comes with that. Thank you. And most especially, I want to offer my...
Kind of what Sarah is doing at this point. She's rebooting her life. And I was pleased that she had the forethought to prepare this message for us in advance. And we're going to give it another try. A little louder, she says. Yeah. We're hoping that's not the tent where she's having her baby.
Good morning, church. I want to offer a few thank yous before we get started today. First off, I want to thank Michael Shore for making this video accessible to you and the AV team for doing their great work. And maybe even a shout out to Steve Jobs and his Apple team that I can have a video recorder in my pocket. I want to offer a thank you to you all as well for the support you've given me and my family throughout this pregnancy. And as we bring in this new life into the world, all the excitement that comes with that. Thank you. And most especially, I want to offer my gratitude to God. This God that is not a God of cogs or lemmings or mindless servants, but is a God who wants each of us to flourish and know deep joy, that can buoy us when we have hard times, that can guide our decisions and our actions, and that fill us with purpose. So with this gratitude in mind, I invite you to pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the ways that you've called us here today to have to be people with hearts of generosity. Help us build the capacity to live out human flourishing and joy in our spheres of influence, and to go with courage even to those edges, to the margins, where we might give out of the abundance that you have given us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Throughout human history, we've had these understandings of basic human needs, these survival realities. We know them kind of as Maslow's hierarchy, and that would include the basic needs of food, shelter, safety, water. And then we have the higher aspirational things like love and self-actualization, human flourishing in general. The Apostle Paul says that both can exist together. And in fact, when one is poor or has poverty in it, the other builds the other survival, the other nourishing, the nourishment of the body and mind, or the nourishment of the soul will help the other. Paul talks about this in his second letter to the Corinthians. When he talks about the group of people in Macedonia, the churches in Philippi and Thessalonica, and he says, you know, even though they were poor and in hard times, they were glad to give generously. They gave as much as they could afford and even more simply because they wanted to. They even asked and begged to let them have the joy of giving their money to God's people. And they did more than we had hoped. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, just as God had wanted them to. Paul says that both can exist, that even in our poverty, even when we're poor, we can have great joy, especially the joy that comes from generosity. And so through his words, we can recognize that there are two rewards from giving, that of human flourishing and of joy. Now, human flourishing, he talks about even more in this letter. He says, you know, you are stronger. You have stronger faith and you speak better and know more. You are eager to give and you love better. I'm not ordering you to give generously, but to simply test how real your love is in comparison to others. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ was kind enough to give up all his riches and become poor. And so you can become rich. This word human flourishing comes from the Greek word eudaimonia, which was popularized by Aristotle's philosophy. It's a word that means joy and happiness, but is not simply defined by the qualities of wealth or success. In fact, we could understand eudaimonia as human flourishing, a term that means the highest human good, what we might call the good life, both for ourselves and for others. The other reward from giving is that of joy. Paul talks about this in chapter 9 when he says, each of you must make up your own mind about how much you want to give. And don't feel sorry about how much you give, and don't feel forced to do it. God loves those who love to give. Other translations say, God loves a joyful giver. And so here we see that the two rewards from giving, human flourishing and joy, can exist no matter how we come to our basic survival needs. So how do we do this? How do we cultivate human flourishing and joy? There are a couple tools, and there are some that Adam Hamilton has outlined in his book, Enough. The first one is cultivating gratitude. This starts by holding simplicity and allowing simplicity to help highlight what is good. Lydia turned 2 at the end of May this year, and I was really excited for her birthday because she was at that point where she could finally express herself and find delight in things like birthday parties. My family was coming down and I was excited. I pulled out my box of white cake mix and frosting, and I was ready to go. But in the back of my mind, I was seeing pictures that might be on Pinterest of, you know, ponies that I could make out of the cake, or big unicorns made out of cupcakes. And I thought, oh, stardust, the moon, that's what my daughter deserves. But instead, I put before her a 9x13 rectangle cake with 2 small candles and purple frosting. And I was kicking myself. Really? Is this all you've got? Your daughter deserves more. Well, inspiration came to my head when I remembered that we had a small container of sprinkles in the cupboard. So I pulled them out and let Lydia help me sprinkle her cake. Her eyes grew wide and she picked one of them off to eat. We sang, she blew out the candles, and we all had a great time. She flourished and I flourished because those sprinkles could have been as big as and most valuable as fairy dust in her mind. She recognized that the simple was good. This cultivating gratitude also comes when we hold bigger picture around gestures of the heart. Getting dinner or receiving a gesture of a hug or a phone call is not just a small thing. When we receive that, we are encountering a generous heart, a heart that has offered its effort, a person that has given intention and selflessness. My mother-in-law will be remembering the first year anniversary of her husband's death in a couple weeks. And over this last year, she has endured an incredible amount of loneliness. But each month, she goes to a friend's house to have pizza and a movie. It's a small thing, but they know each other. They know her and she knows them. It's a place where she can be fun, have fun, be herself. And it's a place where her gratitude is bolstered for an immeasurable moment. That gesture of giving and receiving is priceless. Our second tool that can help us cultivate and live into human flourishing and joy is by having a bigger purpose than ourselves. Over the last couple of months, the Church Council has developed a new mission statement for Mountain View to building vital and open community on Christ's foundation. An older mission statement said that we were about growth. And this mission statement tells us that we want to live beyond ourselves, that we can do big things, but we're going to go beyond ourselves and maybe even beyond what we can imagine. And thus, God has to be in it. God will be partnering with us, especially in our humanity and our humility. This has exciting potential. This dynamic statement seems like it could live itself out in lots of ways. And in comparison to growth, which to me in my mind is a lot of spreadsheets and charts, I'm excited about how we live out this bigger purpose as a church community. Churches, institutions, groups can all have missions and purposes, but I think each of us can have a personal mission and purpose that goes beyond ourselves. This purpose can be determined by roles, like whether we're parents or siblings or children. It can be determined by our talents, what we do for a living, our hobbies, and it can be determined by the nudges we feel. In these moments where we find great purpose and mission, we put everything in, right? What have you wanted to do that you've just go all in for? Maybe you were training for a marathon and you went all in. Maybe you wanted to help your kid learn to ride his bike. You went all in. Or there was a project at work that you went all in for because you knew the mission before you was greater than yourself. I think this is how God wants us to respond to nudges, to holy nudges within us, to go all in and go big. Barbara Glantz is a motivational speaker who was speaking to a group of employees from a grocery store chain. She told them that every person they meet was an opportunity to bless someone, to live out a higher calling or mission. Well, Johnny, a 19-year-old bagger who has Down syndrome, took this to heart. He went home and decided that every day he would take a positive saying from the internet, print it out onto 300 strips, and then place them in the bag of his customers. Well, over the next days and weeks, the management saw that Johnny's line kept getting longer and longer. And even when they would say, oh, you know, aisle 2 or aisle 3 is open, they wouldn't budge. They wanted to be in Johnny's line. They were touched by him. He had filled them with joy because he had recognized his purpose beyond himself, and it allowed them and him to flourish. The third tool is to live beneath our means. Now, this one seems to be the one where I struggle or find the most difficulty. In part because we all have needs. In this corner of the world, we have needs to survive. And those needs, to me, look like a car. Probably a job, some money to pay for the car and the home and the food and our sanity. These seem like the basic needs. Then we have needs to keep up. That need could include a phone. Maybe the phone is in your survival category, whatever. But the needs to keep up include a phone, maybe working out at a gym, getting the right clothes, being active in particular activities. And then we have the needs to endure. The needs to endure all of this pressure and intensity and needs of the culture. These needs to endure can often include alcohol, or TV, or just a vegged out brain. Seth Godin, who is an entrepreneur, a blogger, and a great thinker, says that humans can fall into two different categories, or two different views of the world. One view is that of the Walmart mentality, that we just need stuff for cheap to fill our shelves. This is why we have Black Friday or Amazon Prime Day. We allow people to sell us whatever it is just to fill the emptiness. And this comes from a scarcity mindset. The other view is that of the abundance economy. This is when we invest in things that allow us to connect with one another or that gives us more time. We seek out things, ideas, services that offer us connection, meaning, and a place where we can be our best selves. Can you name a place or a way that you do this? Maybe you get a meal service where you have the meal almost prepped for you, so you spend less time in the kitchen and more time around the table with your family. Perhaps you have an app on your phone that organizes your emails so that you only have to look at them once or twice a day. Maybe it's by coming to church where you can sense a community, a place where you belong, and where a place where you are called to a better self. As I said, this is tricky, this living beneath our means, because it really calls us to question about how we follow Jesus' example and how we make it in our affluent world. Jesus didn't have to deal with iPhones, right? But how do we experience this question? Shane Glayborn, who is a person of the New Monastic Movement, says the answer is community. He often sees that people who are richer and of more affluent places tend to be poorer in community. And he says that that has to switch. We have to be as rich in community as we are in wealth and resources. Living beneath our means allows us to invest elsewhere. And this comes with baby steps. It comes incrementally and in multiple areas of our lives. We might master in one spot, but be at ground zero in another spot. But living beneath our means can be as simple as having coffee at home or eating dinner at home instead of going out. Maybe it's having a vacation that's closer to home until we save for that big adventure. Perhaps it's trading experiences with one another for the toys that fill the shelves. I think the most valuable piece of this, to live beneath our means, is reframing what is big and amazing. This summer, there was a weekend on Pearl Street that was a big carnival, and I was excited because I thought, oh, this would be a great adventure. We'll get lots of memories, have pictures, and it'll be fun. So I packed up our stuff, and I was like, Lydia, let's get in the car. But she would not have it. She would not budge, because as we walked outside, she remembered she wanted to go to the park. All my coaxing did nothing, and so I dropped the stuff, and we went off to the park. And I have to say that over the last 6 months, what I will remember the most is that we have 3 parks within walking distance where my daughter discovered ways in which she could grow, which she could build confidence, where she could find new skills and be just delighted in herself and the world around her. She reframed for me what was big and amazing. The final tool that we can use and to develop human flourishing and joy is really taking on what Jesus said, that giving is better than receiving. And this includes intentional giving and surprise giving. Not just at Christmas or birthdays. You know, postcards are only 33 cents and they can be the most fun gift you ever give. We have our planned giving, right? That maybe comes out of as an automatic withdrawal from our bank or a check that we write at the very beginning of the month. Then we need to budget gifts that can be surprises. We can set aside $50 and say, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll give my spouse flowers this month. Or there's a family who just had a baby and I can make a meal. Or I'm going to take that person who's just lost their spouse out to dinner. These are the ways, both planned gifts and surprise gifts, the ways in which we build human flourishing, both within ourselves and others. Giving then becomes not a sacrifice, but an expression of a life lived on purpose. We want to live with human flourishing and joy, and we can do that by cultivating gratitude with simplicity, finding a bigger purpose than ourselves, living beneath our means, and giving before receiving. This is our work to claim at any level of richness or poverty we find ourselves, because we can live in both. We'll be surprised and we'll be filled with joy. We'll forget scarcity and live out of abundance, for we'll experience God's abundance in our life as a huge gift that can only then be given away. May that be true of ourselves this day and evermore. Amen.
I hope you were taking some notes. I certainly was, as it's inspiring for us to give ourselves away. Our hymn of dedication, I Come With Joy. Please rise as we sing together. Hear this benediction and think on a small joy that you experienced this week. And think on it as a model for the small joys that you'll look for in the coming week. The small joys lead us to the greater ones. May the love and promise of Jesus Christ touch your heart today. And may you know joy in this hour and throughout your life in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.